Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I'm delighted to welcome back Terry Reed to my show to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Search and Detect. So welcome back to my show, Terry.
Oh, thank you. This is always a pleasure to come and visit.
Now, I love that you chose this one. What does your heroine eat for breakfast in this story?
Okay, so my heroine is a dietitian. So she eats her healthy oatmeal with antioxidant blueberries and potassium-filled bananas.
Ah, yes, got to get all those great vitamins and stuff to get her up and on the road. That sounds like a tasty breakfast. I might have to have that myself soon. especially in the fall. So it's always
a good fall
breakfast. So what about your hero? Where did he grow up in this story?
So our hero grew up in the town that the book is set in. So it's a fictitious town called Elk Valley, Wyoming. And so, and now he's back. He's back home for this book.
Okay. Sounds like he left. So he left and came back.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about your villain? Is there a redeeming quality for this villain in this story?
There are many villains in this story, but the main villain person, I would say their one redeeming quality is they're very skilled at their job.
Mm.
And I'm not going to say any more because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, so this mysterious villain is very good at their job, which can be definitely a redeeming quality, unless, of course, your job is killing people. That's probably not a thing to get instilled at, but I digress. I digress entirely. Okay. So what about the setting for this? Is it, sounds like you mentioned it was a fictitious place. Is it based on a real area of the country?
Well, yes and no. It's a combination of small towns in and around the Laramie Mountain Range and the countryside there in Wyoming. So it was a lot of fun to be able to read about the area and then incorporate some of the realism of that into our fictitious town.
So you've not actually been to that area of the country yourself.
I have not been to Wyoming. That's one of the places I really hope to go to someday.
Well, now that you've written about it, you definitely have to go and see. I sense a research trip in your future, Terry.
Yes. And then I have to write another book set there.
Yeah, of course. This is why, one of the reasons why we travel. We writers travel. It's for fun and research.
Yes.
What was the hardest part of writing Search and Detect?
So Search and Detect is the last book of the overarching mystery in the Mountain Country Canine Unit. So the hardest part is tying up all of the different mystery threads that are left dangling and making sure that I update the readers as to what the heroes and heroines are doing from the previous books, and then also setting up the two novellas that are coming out a month later.
Wow, that's a lot besides your own story.
Well,
I guess we'll have to read your book and see if you did a good job. I'm sure you do. All your books are wonderful. But
thank you.
Just saying. So that's a lot. That's a lot in one book. But I know I'm 100% sure you pulled it off, Terry.
Well, and then it has its own mystery arc. So,
A lot going on. Well, we're going to close our short time together, Terry, with what's the tagline for this book?
the tagline, a bomber with a deadly agenda and a canine team determined to catch him.
Wow. If you are not interested in this book after our discussion, you must not like romantic suspense, just saying, listeners. But if you're listening to this, I'm sure you do. So thank you so much for sharing about Search and Detect on my show today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me back. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Next up, I have Jamie Jo Wright talking about her recent release, Specters in the Glass House. So welcome back to my show, Jamie Jo.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the heroine's name. Why did you want to pick this particular name for your heroine?
The heroine's name, Marion Arnold, is actually my grandmother's maiden name. And I wanted to name a character after her. She was the grandmother that I would curl up with on the couch when I was little, and we would watch TV together, and she'd make me homemade macaroni and cheese. And I always knew her as Grandma Wright, but her maiden name was Marion Arnold, so I wanted to nod to her.
Oh, I love that. I love how we can use those, have those family connections. So that
yes.
just makes it extra special, I think. What about your hero? What is his greatest fear in this story?
Well, I have two heroes because I write in two different time periods. The hero, Felix, from the historical time period, his greatest fear really is what can he accomplish now that he is no longer fully what back in those days they would have considered a full man. He's had a leg amputation from World War One. He's a World War One veteran, and a lot of people look down on him as not being able or capable, and he's looking to become, you know, the hero for the heroine and show her that he can still do anything and everything that God has given him to do. And then the hero in the present day, his struggle and greatest fear is really his deepest, darkest secret. So if I say too much about it, it would be a spoiler. But I will say that he also struggles with that deep sense of, can I be valuable as a man when I don't fit into the stereotype of that alpha male?
Ah, yes. Yeah, that's always the stereotypes, man.
Yeah, right? Right? Sometimes they're fun, but...
yeah, they can definitely trip you up. So let's switch to the villain, and I know you write split time, so just tell us who or what your villain loves the most in whichever time period you want.
Well, our villain really likes justice, and it's justice through their eyes. It's how they see the world ticking, and both villains in both time periods have an element of things that they want to see being brought to justice, being redeemed. And so their attempts at redemption are very twisted and very different than how we may view redemption.
Yes. Redemption is, I know you think it's always positive, but it doesn't always come across as positive. So what about
it can sometimes have different...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it sometimes have different meanings to different people and different mindsets. So
yeah, definitely. So what about why this story is setting? Where is it set and why did you pick it?
Well, the story is set in the 1920s in the historical setting, and so it's definitely Prohibition era. And I set it just outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which Milwaukee is known as Little Germany. It's the heart of the breweries. Especially in that era, and the Prohibition had a really strong impact, obviously, then on Milwaukee, which was known for its beer gardens and liquor and alcohol. And so I wanted to set it in that area without specifically setting it in Milwaukee. So we're just outside at the summer home of a Milwaukee Brewery Baron's place there out in the country.
Ah, lovely. And what about the why this story, or stories in your case? Why did you want to write these particular stories?
These stories, without giving away spoilers, I wanted to be able to have characters that were struggling with really intense struggles that cannot get conquered at the end of the story. You know, so often we have those struggles where it's like we want to see them conquer it. But sometimes in life we're given struggles that we know there's no conquering. There's something we have to live in. A little bit like the thorn in the flesh, so to speak, that it's just, it's always going to be there. So because it's always going to be there, how then do we proceed ahead when redemption looks different to different people and justice looks different to different people? And how does it look through the eyes of our Creator?
Ah, I love that. I love how we can weave those kind of messages into our books, because life is messy and sometimes the endings are not quite as tidy as we would like.
Exactly, exactly.
So we're going to close our short time together with what's one thing you want readers to know about Specters in the Glass House?
Specters in the Glass House is definitely meant to be a thrilling and creepy read. However, a lot of people ask me, do you have real ghosts and real specters in your book? And I always like to say it's a little bit of Scooby-Doo in that the sheet comes off at the end and you see the culprit revealed underneath.
Ah, yeah, a little bit of the smoke and mirrors kind of thing going
on.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bit of smoke and mirrors in this thing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a great fall read, so thank you so much for sharing about it on my show today. And now I'm delighted to be talking with Katie Lee about her latest romantic suspense book, Canine Christmas Guardians. So welcome to my show, Katie.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Now, the first question that you picked, and I'm going to guess that maybe your heroine has a pet, and you're going to tell us what it would be and what the name would be, unless she's not the one with the canine in your book.
Yes, both characters work with the canine officer dogs, and my heroine loves dogs. She's actually a trainer. She is working with a present dog, I believe a Labrador, named Mocha. And Mocha is struggling and may not make it as a canine. So she's having to take her with her to investigate and train her at the same time.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And what's your heroine's name? I'm not sure you said that.
I'm sorry, hold on. Can you pause it or no?
Yeah, you edit? Go, don't worry about it.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Let me
this, folks, is what happens when authors write too many books.
That's it. That is totally it. And I know, like, I want to, oh my goodness, it's so bad. I was so bad. I know Sully is his. Hold on a second. Let me just grab it.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who sometimes is like,
I'm
what
writing
was
three books
her
up.
Name? Yeah, we got the dog name.
A year ago, right?
Yeah. Sometimes okay. That's the way it is.
All right, I just want to make sure I got this right. It is, it's Kara. Okay, that's it. I want to make sure I had it right. All right, hold on. Yeah. Let me go back upstairs.
All right, we have Kara with her dog, who's the Labrador, who she's hoping is going to make it. All right, as a canine. Okay, so let's talk. Let's switch to your hero in this story. And where did he grow up? What's his background for growing up?
So, yes, my hero, Sully, grew up in Wyoming, and that's where this story takes place. So he has never left. This is where he lives. He's a mountain man and now a U.S. Marshal.
Oh, wonderful. And then who or what does your villain love the most? And feel free to use the generic pronoun they if you don't want to give it away.
Okay. Well, actually, it's pretty obvious there's in page one. So it's Kara's sister who's in witness protection and has been kept from him for a long time. And he is still looking for her and he'll take her, get her alive.
Ooh, that doesn't sound too good.
No.
So you mentioned Wyoming. That's where your hero grew up, and it's also the story setting. So why this particular setting? Why Wyoming for this story?
So this is a part of the continuity series with Love Inspired Suspense, and the headquarters of the Mountain Country Canine Unit is in a fictitious town, kind of like Laramie, though. And when I was told that my story would take place in Wyoming, I was very excited because I love the Tetons and Jackson, and so that's where I really focused it on, in that area.
Ah, lovely. And what about the genesis of the story? I mean, what you mentioned a little bit about it, but what? How did the story idea, the gem of the germ of the story idea, I guess I say.
Right.
I should say.
Right. So with the continuity stories, the there's a book, kind of guideline book that we all go by, and we are assigned our characters that are going to be part of the whole series for the whole year, and they gave me Kara and Sully, and I was actually really excited because they're both in their 50s, and I'm approaching my 50s, and I thought, hey, even at our age, we like to find our true love story.
Oh, I love that. Yes, yes. I always root for younger, older. Let's give us all ages for the romance department, right?
Absolutely.
We don't stop longing for love just because we have a few more years under our belts. So I think that's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one thing you want readers to know about Canine Christmas Guardians?
So something particular is there are actually two stories in the book. So the way that Love Inspired Suspense does their last book of the whole series that begins in March and then releases one book a month, and this last book that comes out at the end of November will have two Christmas stories in it. So they're actually novellas, and I get to share this year with Lenora Worth.
Oh, lovely. That's a nice... It is kind of fun. Well, thank you, Katie, sharing about your book on my show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm delighted to welcome back Danielle Grandinetti, and she's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Investigation of a Journalist. So welcome back to my show, Danielle.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's talk about your heroine. How does she feel about love at the start of this story?
Well, I would say she's probably on the more confused side. This is she was left at the altar months before her wedding. So when her ex-fiancé shows up on her doorstep needing her help, not sure she knows quite what to do with that.
Yeah, well, that would make you a little leery.
Yeah.
Love a little bit. So let's talk about your hero. What is his greatest fear in this story?
So I can't give too much away because this is the series finale. And there's a major spoiler in book one, or in chapter one, for the series. However, his greatest fear is wrapped up in all the sacrifices that he has made to get to the point where he's at in the series and in his life. Becoming all undone, and it causes all sorts of problems for that. But that is his greatest fear, that all that he has sacrificed is for naught.
Mm. And what about the villain? Why did you decide to make this person the villain?
So, as with a lot of suspense, there's not just one. The obvious villain in the story is the journalist who has been a pain in everybody's side the whole series, and so pitting journalist against journalist was super fun. However, as suspense goes, you know, is he really the true villain? At the end of the day, they're actually after somebody else, and yeah, you know how all of that goes.
Yes. I do know how all of that goes. Yeah, it's always fun to have one person and then go, well, you know, it really might not be that person, or they may have done some things that are bad, but maybe they're not totally bad.
Right. So that's a little bit of mystery, a little bit of, you know, suspense and mystery, kind of, you know, I weave the two together.
Yes.
In this one, for sure.
Oh, so let's talk about the story setting. Why this setting?
Yeah. So this setting is, it's in the small town I created for the series, Harbord and Crow's Nest. And one of the things that I'm most excited about with this book is that it bookends the first book. And my cover designer captured that feel of it by actually using the same background stock on Worf in the cover from the first book, but she flipped it in the last book on the cover. And it's a perfect description of how this book is a bookend to the series and the setting and the small town. And all that's been happening comes to a head and a conclusion.
Ah, that's great. I love it when we can use visual reminders and cues.
Me too.
Cues as well. So what was the hardest part of writing this book for you?
So it actually was that. Knowing that I knew this big series reveal that I'm doing in chapter one. I knew what it was back in book one, so I've been holding that secret for a long time. But I also, the hero in the story has also been, is he the villain? Is he a good guy? Is he just misunderstood? He's just had so much that readers have been like, I can't wait for Buck's story. I can't wait for Buck's story. And now we've gotten a Buck story. So that was the hardest part, was feeling the pressure of the expectation, but then also knowing that I have a reveal that I've been keeping from everybody from book one. So that made it challenging, but hopefully the payoff, we'll see if readers think I did the payoff well enough.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, Danielle. I hope so. Well, we are almost out of our time for this short interview, but what is one thing you want readers to know about Investigation of a Journalist?
So I think one thing that I would love readers to know about this particular story is that, one, it is a series finale. So if you haven't read the series yet and you don't like spoilers, read the series. If you can only pick one book, I would read book one. You could read book four as well, one, five, and six. If you really want to avoid all the spoilers, you can. Those would be the ones that would make the most sense. So, series finales are fun to market because I want readers to get the full extent of the story, and there's so much of wrapping up the series in the story as much as it is a story in and of itself.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about that on my show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to welcome back Patricia Bradley to my show. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Deadly Revenge. So welcome back, Patricia.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to get started with our heroine. And how does she feel about love at the start of this particular story?
She's burned. She is not looking to date anyone, and especially not a cop. A fireman maybe, but not a cop.
How much do you want to
That's
bet your hero thinks. Is a cop?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think
and
so.
They have history, but he's not the one that broke her heart.
Okay, that's good. So, but what about him? What's holding him back from finding love?
He's too busy. And he had a fiance who found him. She'd rather have drugs than him, so he's been burned too.
So what about your villain in this story? Does he or she, what does he or she love the most? And you can use the pronoun they if you're hiding the identity.
I don't think I did in this one, but I'll use they anyway. But they have lost their farm to eminent domain. They've been in the family for 100 years, and so that's one of the villains. You know, I always have two or three.
So what? So they love. I guess they love their family the most, then, and their.
They love their family, and they felt they were wronged, and so they're out to get revenge, or not get revenge. They're out to make things right. And the other antagonist is, he's just a really bad guy, and he blames the heroine for losing his position in his gang. So he's out to fix her.
Yeah. So what about the story setting? What why did you pick this particular setting for this story?
Two reasons. One, I want to visit my sister in Chattanooga. And two, I love that area. I love going to Chattanooga. And this is not set in Chattanooga, but it is in that area. And the mountains there, they're not the high peaks of the Rockies or even the Smokies, mm-hmm. but there's just something about that area that draws me.
All right. I love it when we can write about areas that we really love. And we love to visit, so that's always, I think it always makes it a little more special. So what about this particular story? Why were you compelled to write this story in Deadly Revenge?
Once I locked on to the eminent domain part of it, it's like, because we went through that twice as the highways came through here, so I was familiar with it. I saw how passions could be stirred. In fact, when they were putting the highway through here, and North Mississippi desperately needed the four-lane highway, but the surveyors were shot at because people didn't want to give up their land for anything, even for the public good. So to me, I locked in on the passions that eminent domain can sometimes bring to the table.
Yeah, and it's something that not everyone is familiar with either. If you haven't personally, like you said, personally experienced it, it can be, you don't really understand, all the nuances.
Right, and then you find out that maybe somebody benefited and that the project wasn't even necessary. And I think that's what, that can really stir up people. More people are killed in this area over boundary lines, or they used to be, and that's part of the emotion in it. This property,
right.
Especially property that's been in the family for 100 years.
Well, yes, exactly. Those legacies can really stir people up. So we are almost out of time today, Patricia. But what is one thing you want readers to know about Deadly Revenge?
That God's in control, and while all we can do is look to Him and His principles to solve these problems that pop up like this, and that there are some things that we can't fix and we have to accept.
I love that. I love how we can really write those biblical truths, right, in our books and kind of get those across to our readers. So thank you so much for sharing about your newest release today.
Thank you. I love being here.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.